Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Breaking Bread, a daily Pennsylvanian podcast about diversity, equity, and inclusion. This is our first episode of the season, and today we're recording with Kayla Simpson, and our food for the day is cheddar popcorn from Acme. I'm always searching for diverse and unique perspectives for this podcast, and I was given Kayla's name and thought she would have some great insight to share. We're going to talk about Kayla's experience at Penn as a Jamaican and Puerto Rican woman studying CS, so let's get right into it. Hello, Kayla. Thank you for being here today.
Hi. So, yeah, like she said, I'm Kayla. I'm a junior studying computer science and engineering. I'm from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in the area. I mean, I think we all kind of drag it a little bit when we tell people where we're from. But my pronouns are she, her. So I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, thank you. Can you tell me a little bit about your journey to coming to Penn? Because you mentioned beforehand that you had a pretty cool, I guess, path to coming here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so basically, I was kind of a troubled kid in middle school. I didn't really focus, and my parents were trying to figure out why, and someone suggested that it was probably because I was bored. So they put me in this specialized program where I essentially skipped high school, and I took college classes starting my freshman year of quote-unquote high school, I was pursuing a bachelor's of science in biology at Florida Atlantic University, which is a school in Boca, and I honestly didn't know what I wanted to do. I thought the only way to be successful was to be a doctor, so I feel like a lot of people fall down that trap, so that was the motivation for that, and then I kind of started, when I started taking organic chemistry, I realized I really liked problem solving. I thought it was really neat to see everything come together. And when I finished high school, I realized, or when I was about to finish high school, I realized that I wasn't ready to leave school. I didn't know what I wanted to do. Definitely didn't want to go to med school. And I was like, I need to apply to college. I need to keep going. Mm-hmm. So I applied to Penn. It was the only school that I applied to because it was the only one I was interested in. I can't tell you why. I just thought it would be cool to be in Philly. And
you thought it would be cool to be in Philly?
I don't know. I just, yeah, it's a good question. I wanted to go to a school in a city, and I didn't want the city to be New York. So fair enough. Philly it is. And I applied, and I kind of applied as a chemistry major because that's all I knew, really, chemistry and biology. So I started doing chemistry, and when I got here, I took an intro CS class, CIS 1100 for any real ones out there, and I fell in love with the subject, so then I ended up transferring, and that's how I got here.
Wow, okay. So how do you think your unique experiences from high school have influenced your perspective in life as a Penn student? Because that is typically not a path that I think a lot of people take mm-hmm. when it comes from high school to college.
Yeah, I would say that the number one thing that informed, I guess, my decisions in my life is my high school program really pushed this idea of like a growth mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And I at first thought it was so cheesy, the idea that you should always frame things as not I don't know it, but I don't know it yet. It sounds so cheesy, It's very helpful, actually. I think coming here, there's so many people who say, like, I'm not good at this. Like, I'm just not cut out to do this. When in reality, like, you can pretty much do anything if you want to do it. I think a lot of people at Penn, like, shut themselves off from certain opportunities because they feel like they're not qualified to do it. But I think that anything that you want to do, you can do. And obviously, some things take more effort for some people than others, but as long as you believe that anything is possible with enough effort, I think that opens up so many doors for you. And I think, like, going to that school, like, I was in college 14 years old,
yeah,
in classes with people who are like 18 19 20, and there were a lot of days where I was like, I cannot do this. This is not supposed to happen. You know, no kid is supposed to be in a class with adults, right? But I did it. And that was because I told myself anything that I don't know is not something I wasn't meant to know, but something I just didn't know yet.
I love that. Wait, I really like that. Okay, so at Penn, you're studying computer science, which I'm sure we all know is very much dominated by men and white people. So what has that been like as a woman of Caribbean descent being in that field?
Yeah, good question. If I could describe it in one word, I would say it's overwhelming.
Yeah.
I would say that anybody who is Black, Latina, Asian, if you're anything at all, there's a space that you don't feel like you belong in.
Yeah.
And I think that that feeling is exacerbated when you're the only one in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has been really difficult for me, especially coming from my high school is very diverse. Mm-hmm. So walking into a room and not seeing a single person that looks like you, going to panels or prepping with people who do not relate to you at all is really scary. But I also think it's very motivating. It gives me a reason to keep going, because I don't want anyone to feel like they can push me out of a space. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's something like really empowering, actually, that I think people can find in being the only one in the room, because it shows that you have, I guess, the gall to keep going.
Yeah.
You have the strength to stand out when it's super hard to look different, be from somewhere that's different, think differently. It's really scary. And I think that there's something really, really special also that you can find in being the only person.
I think that's a great perspective. I think I personally struggle when I'm the only one in the room. Sometimes at a certain point, I just feel burned out.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's exhausting. I think it's awesome that you're empowered. At the
it's
same
so
time,
exhausting.
I always feel kind of just, there are definitely days where you're just like,
you have to
what
kind
have
of
I
put on
doing?
A front sometimes,
yeah.
Because you're trying to keep up and you're trying to fit in. And that's so understandable. I do that too. You know,
yeah.
Like there's times where I'm like, I'm not being genuine, because it's scary. It's scary to be yourself when you're not sure how it will be received. But I think there are some days where you just get so fed up and you just kind of are your authentic self. And isn't that like the most relieving?
It is. Yeah. It really is. And so if you're thinking, are you thinking about computer science as a profession?
Yeah, so I'm currently recruiting for software engineering, and it's not
a lot.
An easy process.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not an easy process at all.
And so what is that like with recruiting versus in the classroom, like being
the only
question.
One?
That's a great
question. Something that I find really interesting, and I'm not sure if it's a coincidence, but all of my recruiters are always people of color.
Interesting.
My recruiters are always people of color, but my interviewers are never, ever. They're always like white or Asian. And I always thought that was a little bit interesting. Just wondering if that's a coincidence. You know what
I mean?
I mean,
I definitely feel that way too. Like,
yeah, I think recruiting is kind of troubling, because
mm-hmm.
speaking to my upperclassmen friends, I have a really good friend who is working full-time in finance. She's M&T, and she has her job lined up and everything. And she was, you know, we were having a conversation, and she was telling me that what people don't realize, she was like, Kayla, don't feel bad. Every single person here, they have a connection. And I think that's the one thing that no one really prepares you for, is that when you're a person of color and no one in your family has a professional degree, no one in your family has an education, no one in your family, maybe they do have an education, but they're not a higher up. They have no say or they don't know
anyone. Or
it's
not in the field that you're pursuing.
Exactly. Yeah. You're fucked.
Yeah.
You need to network like hell, and you have to be really lucky that you've made some genuine friends who want to help you out, because other than that, you are on your own, and companies don't even look sometimes at resumes that don't have a referral. That's the number one thing that has been weighing on me,
mm-hmm.
and I think that is sort of the only thing that I would say is a drawback about my journey so far, is that you can really put in all of the work and get no reward just because you don't know the right people. And
or you were never told how to do it. Right. And all these people were told coming in how
exactly.
to do it.
Exactly. I had no idea. I fell into computer science by chance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I had everyone that's in my classes, their parents work at NVIDIA. You know?
Yeah.
They know what to do. They know who to talk to. They know what to study. And that's the scary part, I think.
Have there been resources at Penn for you? Or is it pretty much... I mean, personally, I'm trying to go into marketing, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful that I have... So I'm in the college. I study communications. I have a minor in Wharton. And I've just been mooching off of the Wharton resources. And just... you have to almost be really obsessed with the game and just getting into it and networking like hell.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, like, does Penn provide anything like that for people like you?
That's a good question. So Penn does, you know, obviously they have their career fairs, and I'm on the advisory board for the deans of engineering.
Okay.
And this is a conversation that comes up frequently, is like, does Penn do enough to help students recruit? The consensus is that Penn students are overzealous. They all shoot for the same 5 jobs.
Okay.
And so
which are what in your
FANG companies?
Okay.
You know, the top banks. There's a very, very small pool of attractive name brand jobs that you can brag to your friends about, right? And those aren't the only jobs that pay well, nor are they the only jobs that will give you the stepping stone that you need to advance your career. But, you know, we're all stubborn. Mm-hmm. I can't say that I haven't wanted to work at Google, you know?
Oh, same, I mean.
Yeah. But I guess the issue is, I would say Penn does a good job at providing decent resources.
Okay.
But there's no amount of resources or school interference that can make up for the personal connection you need to get a job at these top companies that everybody wants.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they have career fairs. They have career fairs by major and by school. And I think those are great resources if you're a realistic, level-headed person who is looking for an opportunity to learn and not just an opportunity to be the best of the best. But we're all guilty of it, you know? I can't even lie and say that I've been to one. I haven't.
They're fine. I mean, I went to one. I went just because there was only one company there that I wanted to, because I find that it's a bit overflowed with, like, the finance consulting.
Yeah.
And I think that's a bit of a setback for me, just because as someone, they really do focus on on certain industries, but the problem I have is when it's, like, an all-industries fair, but
it's
just like, oh, we'll put Bloomingdale's in there, and it's good enough, and call it a day. But that's a digression. Have you found yourself, when you're now trying to feel like you're catching up and networking with people, are you now, like, code switching and talking to white guys in your class? Or are you trying to pick out, like, if there are any people of color, if there are any other women, can they help me in any way because they'll have some sort of similar experience to me?
Yeah. I would say that I can't say that I code switch very often. Code switch when I talk to recruiters.
Okay, fair enough.
And, you know, a hiring manager. But I would say that I'm pretty, like, authentic most of the time, just because I don't think people will want to help you if they don't see a friend in you. So the chances of you finding a friend in me and I'm not being real is very slim.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of just rely on... I guess the friends that I do have that do have those connections, like the girl I was talking to, I met her through my job here at Penn. I'm a TA for a CIS class. And so she's been helping me with her connections because she's also TA'd the class for a long time. So, you know, there's a lot of alumni. I also am a part of a bunch of organizations like Hack for Impact, EDAB. So I try to network through there, like talk to alumni of those organizations. I feel like that's the biggest hack, honestly, is talking to people no pun intended. You caught that. I didn't. It is the biggest hack is talking to people who did the things that you're passionate about. You have a genuine thing to connect over, and then chances are they're successful. I mean, we all went to Penn, so
yeah,
that's what I've been relying on so far. And then any close friends that I have who are willing to help me out.
Yeah.
It's hard to ask for help, but most people want to help you, especially if they have the opportunity to. And I think that's the hardest thing to get through your head, because I feel like a lot of people of color are independent.
Yes.
You know, they just want to do everything themselves, and they don't want to ask for handouts because there's such a connotation about being handed things.
Mm-hmm.
So we overcompensate sometimes. But I think the biggest advice I could give to a person of color at the school is take the handout. Take it.
Real. So real. So I'm wondering if has your Caribbean heritage or your family story influenced your academic journey and your perspective in a field like computer science? So for me, for example, I just have this thing where I'm almost obsessed with like legacy of my family, because my grandparents made this huge sacrifice,
right,
to even just get to the States in the first place. My parents worked their asses off to put me where I am today. And so now I feel like I'm almost hell-bent on like every generation before me has done so much to raise the next generation higher. And so my thing is like, what's my thing? What am I gonna do,
right,
for my kids and, yeah, for the future of my lineage, which is like so Asian and so whatever. But I'm wondering if you can relate to anything like that, or,
yeah,
if there's anything from your heritage, your culture, that, yeah, really influences you here.
I think there's a lot of overlap between like the stories of immigrants. So I'm Puerto Rican. My mom my grandmother was in the army. She was a medic. My mother was born not actually in New Jersey on an army base, but she grew up in Puerto Rico. And my father grew up in Jamaica. They both came to the United States for college.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very, very blessed. Both of my parents are college educated. And so there was always like this expectation. It wasn't even like I have to like make things right like and go to college.
Yeah.
It was like my parents picked up and went to college. So,
yeah,
I have no excuse. I think culturally, it's interesting how this is something I talk to my dad about a lot. It's very interesting how being black in this country unites us on so many fronts, but there is something very unique about being an immigrant in this country, especially like an African or Caribbean immigrant, because being an African and Caribbean immigrant in the United States usually means that you had the privilege to escape.
Mm-hmm.
So I have always said I am so blessed to be here, because the people who are truly in need are still back home. You,
yes,
know what I mean? So I think I have a unique perspective in that I can recognize that a lot of my African American peers grew up in situations that were probably far worse than my father did, because,
mm-hmm,
they had the privilege to leave. And just that fact alone puts us in a different position. And so a lot of my motivations when it comes to advocating for diversity in tech is going out to mostly my like African American brothers and sisters, because they don't have the resources, you know, to,
mm-hmm,
to get educated and go to like these top schools on the same sort of level,
mm-hmm,
as some immigrants. You know, my father left Jamaica and was raised in, like, he went to college in Westchester, New York. Like, that's,
yeah,
not exactly.
That's like half of where school's from.
Exactly. I would not necessarily say that my father was in like a place of need, you,
yeah,
know? And I think that's really interesting, because at the end of the day, the way that he was treated by everyone was the same.
Yeah.
So that really makes you want to make a difference, because you know what's possible for people that look like you, and,
mm-hmm,
then you also know how horribly that you're, mm-hmm, treated, you know?
Yeah.
So growing up as somebody that I would say is like more privileged compared to some of the other like Caribbean people that I know or African American people that I know, I just want to inspire people from all backgrounds to pursue what they're genuinely interested in, not because they think that they don't have the resources to do it. And, you know, see that it doesn't really matter what you look like, you know, you can,
mm-hmm,
achieve anything. I feel like, yeah, that's
it. Yeah, that's great. Okay, to switch gears a little bit, I know that you created a organization at Penn called Color Stack. So I'm wondering if you could tell me a little bit about that. Why did you decide to create this organization and what it means to you?
So what we were saying in the beginning, there have probably been, like, I'm a junior now, so this is my fifth semester, and I would say 90% of my classes, I'm the only black person in them.
That's so bad.
It is
so... That's actually heinous. Like, that is so bad.
It's heinous. It's heinous. And I think... I co-founded Color Stack. Shout out to my co-president, Sem. But Sem and I co-founded Color Stack because we heard about the founding chapter of Color Stack. So Color Stack was founded in Cornell.
Okay.
And Cornell, after they started this organization, was able to triple the black enrollment in the computer science department.
Oh, wow.
In just 3 years. So this was started in 2020.
Okay.
So it's only been 4 years, and it's a national organization with tens of thousands of members. Mm-hmm. And quite simply, the mission is to convince black and Latinx students to realize, yes, you can study computer science. You can do it. Yeah, so I guess the motivation is to be a source of representation. Because I think, like you said, some people walk into a room and feel empowered by being the only person, but some people walk into a room, see that they're the only person, and leave.
Yeah.
And we're trying to switch that narrative. You know, we're trying to show people, yeah, there are black and Latinx computer science students. Yes, we get jobs. Yes, we graduate, you know, and kind of convince not just high schoolers, but college students right now who are studying something and want to make the switch, but don't think that they're qualified, don't think that they can succeed, think that you need to know specific things to be successful and all of that.
Okay, so when did you co-found the club?
So we just started. We founded this organization, like, over the summer. He gave me a call. We were both, like, interning, and he, like, randomly called me, and he was like, Kayla, do you want to start an organization with me? And I'm like, okay, what is it? Like, I'm really busy. And he told me about Color Stack. He told me about their mission. He said that he went to an event and that the speakers, like, blew his mind, and that he was, like, blown away just by the sheer amount of resources that they were able to provide, because there are so many successful black people. It's just that it's overshadowed by, like, this network of, like, impossible to make connections.
Yeah.
And so he wanted to show black and Latinx people what is possible, and he was like, I need your help, though. Like, I know you're really busy, but I think we would make a really good team. So we kind of came up with everything over the summer. We started working with Color Stack. We started meeting with some of the directors of the engineering school at Penn. And we had our first meeting in the first week of September, so, like, a couple weeks ago. Turnout was not great.
Okay, that's fair.
But, you know, it's to be expected. I mean, there's only one black person in my class usually other than me.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping that in the next couple weeks we get a little bit more exposure and we can get more people out, because it's really an awesome opportunity. They partner with so many top companies, Uber, Google, Microsoft, and they're giving out referrals, guys. So if you're black,
if you're listening,
or you're Hispanic, join Color Stack.
I mean, yeah, hopefully something like this can help. Yeah. So I think you've kind of touched upon this, but what are your long-term goals for Color Stack, and where do you see this organization going in the next few years, even when you've left Penn and passed it down?
Yeah. Well, Cornell tripled their computer science department. I'm trying to quadruple it.
Yeah.
I think my long-term goal here, I want there to be a dedicated space for marginalized people to come together and appreciate computer science. It's so interesting. It's a fascinating field, super, like, diverse and rich in those genres, like the different things that you can do with it. And I think it's really a shame. I have this, I just want you to hear this. I thought this was crazy. I was talking about this. I just had a meeting with Color Stack. But out of the 87,000 Hispanic engineering students in the country, 18,000 of the 87,000 people, Hispanic people, pursuing a degree in an engineering field graduate, and only 7,000 of that 18,000 enter the engineering workforce. So it's an extremely low number. So not only is the issue, like, graduating, like, they don't even think that they can finish, but then when they do finish, they can't even get a job. And so I think our goal here is to bring multiple communities together who are experiencing the same struggle for similar reasons. There are, like, everyone knows that there are historical inequities that are, you know, affecting the education system for Black and brown people. So if you have the drive, I truly believe that's all you need. You know, education is super, super, super important. But once you're here, like, I'm trying to convince students, like, once you're here, you're qualified. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
When you're in college, that's it. It's over. Finish, you know?
Yeah.
No matter what it takes, you have to finish. And that's kind of the goal of Color Stack, is to convince people. Because, you know, Penn doesn't talk about it. But we might have, like, a 98% graduation rate. But how many of those people stuck to their dream, you know? It's easy to graduate when you switched your major to something that you thought would be easier. But how many people stick to their dream, what they wanted to do when they applied here, you know?
I'm also curious to see, like, if we're, like, hypothetically, it was 10% people who don't graduate, what that breakdown looks like.
Right.
Demographically.
Right. So I think the long-term goal of Color Stack is not only to get more people considering computer science and, you know, more Black and brown people into tech roles, but it's also to convince the people who are already in them that they have what it takes to see it through.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome. That sounds like a great goal. Okay. So I think we can start wrapping up. So I'm just going to leave the floor to you if there's anything you would like to leave the episode with or any last thoughts that you have.
Yeah, I think I would say that diversity means more than just, you know, surrounding yourself with people who look like you. Diversity is about everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And while I'm personally trying to tailor a space for Black and brown people who are passionate about computer science and want to break into it, and I'm trying to provide, like, a forum for all of us to get together, I think it's also really important to keep in mind that everything that you do at Penn should be breaking into some other bubble. Like, it's so easy to get trapped into one circle, but what's so beautiful about being in college and being alive in general is knowing all types of people. So I just encourage everyone listening to talk to everybody, you know, be friends with everyone. Don't feel like when you're the only person in the room that you need to leave. Like, be the shining star, like, be the reason why someone smiles. It really makes a difference. And I think that a lot of times, like, we have, like, these maybe, like, racial or gender disparities and gaps and, like, issues with communication because people are afraid of each other. And yeah. I think that there's a lot less merit to that than people think. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you guys for listening. And thank you, Kayla, for giving us some great insight and coming on today for the first episode of the season. And stay tuned for the next episode.